Chapter 65. In which the reader may perceive a contrast, not uncommon in matrimonial cases. Mr. Bumble sat in the workhouse parlor, with his eyes moodily fixed on the cheerless grate, whence, as it was summer time, no brighter gleam proceeded than the reflection of certain sickly rays of the sun, which were sent back from its cold and shining surface. A paper fly cage dangled from the ceiling, to which he occasionally raised his eyes in gloomy thought, and, as the heedless insects hovered round the gaudy network, Mr. Bumble would heave a deep sigh, while a more gloomy shadow overspread his countenance. Mr. Bumble was meditating. It might be that the insects brought to mind some painful passage in his own past life. Nor was Mr. Bumble's gloom the only thing calculated to awaken a pleasing melancholy in the bosom of a spectator. There were not wanting other appearances, and those closely connected with his own person, which announced that a great change had taken place in the position of his affairs. The laced coat, and the cocked hat, where were they? He still wore knee breeches, and dark cotton stockings on his nether limbs, but they were not the breeches. The coat was wide-skirted, and in that respect like the coat, but, oh how different! The mighty cocked hat was replaced by a modest round one. Mr. Bumble was no longer a beetle. There are some promotions in life, which, independent of the more substantial rewards they offer, require peculiar value and dignity from the coats and waistcoats connected with them. A field marshal has his uniform, a bishop his silk apron, a counselor his silk gown, a beetle his cocked hat. Strip the bishop of his apron, or the beetle of his hat and lace. What are they? Men. Mere men. Dignity, and even holiness too, sometimes, are more questions of coat and waistcoat than some people imagine. Mr. Bumble had married Mrs. Corney, and was master of the workhouse. Another beetle had come into power. On him the cocked hat, gold lace coat, and staff, had all three descended. And tomorrow 2 months it was done. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Bumble, with a sigh. It seems a age. Apostrophe, Mr. Bumble might have meant that he had concentrated a whole existence of happiness into the short space of 8 weeks. But the sigh, there was a vast deal of meaning in the sigh. I sold myself, apostrophe said Mr. Bumble, pursuing the same train of recollection, for 6 teaspoons, a pair of sugar tongs, and a milk pot, with a small quantity of second-hand furniture, and £20 in money. I went very reasonable. Cheap, dirt cheap. Apostrophe apostrophe, cheap. Apostrophe apostrophe cried a shrill voice in Mr. Bumble's ear. You would have been dear at any price, and dear enough I paid for you, Lord above knows that. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Bumble turned, and encountered the face of his interesting consort, who, imperfectly comprehending the few words she had overheard of his complaint, had hazarded the foregoing remark at a venture. Apostrophe Mrs. Bumble, ma'am. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Bumble, with a sentimental sternness. Well, apostrophe apostrophe cried the lady. Have the goodness to look at me, apostrophe said Mr. Bumble, fixing his eyes upon her. If she stands such a eye as that, apostrophe said Mr. Bumble to himself, she can stand anything. It is a eye I never knew to fail with paupers. If it fails with her, my power is gone. Apostrophe, whether an exceedingly small expansion of eye be sufficient to quell paupers, who, being lightly fed, are in no very high condition, or whether the late Mrs. Corney was particularly proof against eagle glances, are matters of opinion. The matter of fact is that the matron was in no way overpowered by Mr. Bumble's scowl, but, on the contrary, treated it with great disdain, and even raised a laugh thereat, which sounded as though it were genuine. On hearing this most unexpected sound, Mr. Bumble looked, first incredulous, and afterwards amazed. He then relapsed into his former state, nor did he rouse himself until his attention was again awakened by the voice of his partner. Are you going to sit snoring there, all day? apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mrs. Bumble. I am going to sit here, as long as I think proper, ma'am, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Bumble, and although I was not snoring, I shall snore, gape, sneeze, laugh, or cry, as the humor strikes me, such being my prerogative. Apostrophe, your prerogative. Apostrophe, apostrophe sneered Mrs. Bumble, with ineffable contempt. I said the word, ma'am, apostrophe said Mr. Bumble. The prerogative of a man is to command. Apostrophe, and what's the prerogative of a woman, in the name of goodness? Apostrophe, apostrophe cried the relict of Mr. Corny deceased. To obey, ma'am, apostrophe thundered Mr. Bumble. Your late unfortunate husband should have taught it you, and then, perhaps, he might have been alive now. I wish he was, poor man. Apostrophe, Mrs. Bumble, seeing at a glance that the decisive moment had now arrived, and that a blow struck for the mastership on one side or other must necessarily be final and conclusive, no sooner heard this allusion to the dead and gone than she dropped into a chair, and with a loud scream that Mr. Bumble was a hard-hearted brute, fell into a paroxysm of tears. But tears were not the things to find their way to Mr. Bumble's soul. His heart was waterproof. Like washable beaver hats that improve with rain, his nerves were rendered stouter and more vigorous by showers of tears, which, being tokens of weakness, and so far tacit admissions of his own power, pleased and exalted him. He eyed his good lady with looks of great satisfaction, and begged, in an encouraging manner, that she should cry her hardest. The exercise being looked upon by the faculty as strongly conducive to health. It opens the lungs, washes the countenance, exercises the eyes, and softens down the temper, apostrophe said Mr. Bumble. So cry away. Apostrophe, as he discharged himself of this pleasantry, Mr. Bumble took his hat from a peg, and putting it on, rather rakishly, on one side, as a man might, who felt he had asserted his superiority in a becoming manner, thrust his hands into his pockets, and sauntered towards the door, with much ease and waggishness depicted in his whole appearance. Now, Mrs. Corny that was, had tried the tears, because they were less troublesome than a manual assault, but she was quite prepared to make trial of the latter mode of proceeding, as Mr. Bumble was not long in discovering. The first proof he experienced of the fact was conveyed in a hollow sound, immediately succeeded by the sudden flying off of his hat to the opposite end of the room. This preliminary proceeding laying bare his head, the expert lady, clasping him tightly round the throat with one hand, inflicted a shower of blows dealt with singular vigor and dexterity upon it with the other. This done, she created a little variety by scratching his face and tearing his hair, and, having, by this time, inflicted as much punishment as she deemed necessary for the offense, she pushed him over a chair, which was luckily well situated for the purpose, and defied him to talk about his prerogative again, if he dared. Get up! Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mrs. Bumble, in a voice of command. And take yourself away from here, unless you want me to do something desperate. Apostrophe, Mr. Bumble rose with a very rueful countenance, wondering much what something desperate might be. Picking up his hat, he looked towards the door. Are you going? Apostrophe, apostrophe demanded Mr. Bumble. Certainly, my dear, certainly, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Bumble, making a quicker motion towards the door. I didn't intend to. I'm going, my dear. You are so very violent, that really I apostrophe, at this instant, Mrs. Bumble stepped hastily forward to replace the carpet, which had been kicked up in the scuffle. Mr. Bumble immediately darted out of the room, without bestowing another thought on his unfinished sentence, leaving the late Mrs. Corny in full possession of the field. Mr. Bumble was fairly taken by surprise, and fairly beaten. He had a decided propensity for bullying. Derived no inconsiderable pleasure from the exercise of petty cruelty, and, consequently, was, it is needless to say, a coward. This is by no means a disparagement to his character, for many official personages, who are held in high respect and admiration, are the victims of similar infirmities. The remark is made, indeed, rather in his favor than otherwise, and with a view of impressing the reader with a just sense of his qualifications for office. But the measure of his degradation was not yet full. After making a tour of the house, and thinking, for the first time, that the poor laws really were too hard on people, and that men who ran away from their wives, leaving them chargeable to the parish, ought, in justice, to be visited with no punishment at all, but rather rewarded as meritorious individuals who had suffered much, Mr. Bumble came to a room, where some of the female paupers were usually employed in washing the parish linen, when the sound of voices in conversation now proceeded. Hem! Apostrophe apostrophe, said Mr. Bumble, summoning up all his native dignity. These women at least shall continue to respect the prerogative. Hallo! Hallo there! What do you mean by this noise, you hussies? Apostrophe apostrophe, with these words, Mr. Bumble opened the door and walked in with a very fierce and angry manner, which was at once exchanged for a most humiliated and cowering air, as his eyes unexpectedly rested on the form of his lady wife. My dear, apostrophe, said Mr. Bumble, I didn't know you were here. Apostrophe, didn't know I was here. Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated Mrs. Bumble. What do you do here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I thought they were talking rather too much to be doing their work properly, my dear, apostrophe, replied Mr. Bumble, glancing distractedly at a couple of old women at the wash tub, who were comparing notes of admiration at the workhouse master's humility. You thought they were talking too much? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Bumble. What business is it of yours? Apostrophe apostrophe, why, my dear apostrophe, urged Mr. Bumble submissively. What business is it of yours? Apostrophe apostrophe, demanded Mrs. Bumble, again. It's very true, your matron here, my dear apostrophe, submitted Mr. Bumble, but I thought you mightn't be in the way just then. Apostrophe, I'll tell you what, Mr. Bumble, apostrophe, returned his lady. We don't want any of your interference. You're a great deal too fond of poking your nose into things that don't concern you, making everybody in the house laugh the moment your back is turned, and making yourself look like a fool every hour in the day. Be off. Come. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Bumble, seeing with excruciating feelings the delight of the two old paupers, who were tittering together most rapturously, hesitated for an instant. Mrs. Bumble, whose patience brooked no delay, caught up a bowl of soapsuds, and motioning him towards the door, ordered him instantly to depart, on pain of receiving the contents upon his portly person. What could Mr. Bumble do? He looked dejectedly round, and slunk away, and, as he reached the door, the titterings of the paupers broke into a shrill chuckle of irrepressible delight. It wanted but this. He was degraded in their eyes. He had lost caste and station before the very paupers. He had fallen from all the height and pomp of beadleship to the lowest depth of the most snubbed hen peccary. All in 2 months. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Mr. Bumble, filled with dismal thoughts. 2 months. No more than 2 months ago, I was not only my own master, but everybody else's, so far as the parochial workhouse was concerned, and now, apostrophe, it was too much. Mr. Bumble boxed the ears of the boy who opened the gate for him, for he had reached the portal in his reverie, and walked, distractedly, into the street. He walked up one street, and down another, until exercise had abated the first passion of his grief. And then the revulsion of feeling made him thirsty. He passed a great many public houses, but at length paused before one in a byway, whose parlor, as he gathered from a hasty peep over the blinds, was deserted, save by one solitary customer. It began to rain, heavily, at the moment. This determined him. Mr. Bumble stepped in, and ordering something to drink. As he passed the bar, entered the apartment into which he had looked from the street. The man who was seated there was tall and dark, and wore a large cloak. He had the air of a stranger, and seemed, by a certain haggardness in his look, as well as by the moldy soils on his dress, to have traveled some distance. He eyed Bumble askance as he entered, but scarcely deigned to nod his head in acknowledgement of his salutation. Mr. Bumble had quite dignity enough for two, supposing even that the stranger had been more familiar. So he drank his gin and water in silence, and read the paper with great show of pomp and circumstance. It so happened, however, as it will happen very often, when men fall into company under such circumstances, that Mr. Bumble felt, every now and then, a powerful inducement, which he could not resist, to steal a look at the stranger. And that whenever he did so, he withdrew his eyes, in some confusion, to find that the stranger was at that moment stealing a look at him. Mr. Bumble's awkwardness was enhanced by the very remarkable expression of the stranger's eye, which was keen and bright, but shadowed by a scowl of distrust and suspicion, unlike anything he had ever observed before, and repulsive to behold. When they had encountered each other's glance several times in this way, the stranger, in a harsh, deep voice, broke silence. "Were you looking for me?" apostrophe he said, "when you peered in at the window. Apostrophe apostrophe, not that I am aware of, unless you're Mr. Apostrophe here." Mr. Bumble stopped short, for he was curious to know the stranger's name, and thought in his impatience, he might supply the blank. "I see you were not," apostrophe said the stranger, an expression of quiet sarcasm playing about his mouth, "or you have known my name. You don't know it. I would recommend you not to ask for it." Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.